This is the On the Line podcast.
And we're back to another episode of the On the Line podcast, joined again by Noah. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Football's back. Can't be more excited.
What a great weekend. Wasn't that great? Wasn't that great football?
It was fantastic football. I got to say, though, my fantasy team did not do so well, so that was a little bit of a low blow. But our Steelers won, Mark, so that was a big boost to the morale for the weekend. But it was fantastic to have football back.
Yeah, it was great. And like you said, dude, your fantasy team lost. I'm in three leagues. All three of mine lost. They shit the bed. And you want to know why? It's because I got Kittle and Michael Thomas in all my leagues, and both of them did terrible. But we'll talk more about that in our segment coming up, our fantasy studs and duds coming up after our first segment. But if you guys checked our Twitter, we're posting our Friday picks, our Fire Five picks. And we pick our five best games for the weekend, best gambling odds. What did we do, Noah? I think we went 2-2-1 on the weekend, which isn't too bad, right?
Not too bad. Would have liked to have been 3-2 to break even, especially since all the odds would have been around -110. So that would have been in the money there. But, you know, it's better to go 2-2-1 than 2-3. So at least he got the push there. The biggest surprise was definitely Indianapolis losing to Jacksonville.
Definitely.
And we had them at -8. So apologies for that. Taking a huge favorite there. We'll own that one. I think a lot of people probably had Indianapolis pegged to run away with that game, but Jaguars and Gardner Minshew thought otherwise. He looked fantastic, and the Colts looked abysmal. With what defense? Where was it? They completely blew the lead, and Phillip Rivers, there's some rust there. There's some rust for the old man, so he's going to have to shake that off. They went to the pass a ton. Phillip Rivers, I think, attempted close to 40 pass attempts, I believe. And there's supposed to be some run-heavy offense. Where was Jonathan Taylor?
I know,
Taylor?
Right? They didn't use him. They didn't really use him. I mean, they used Naeem Hines. I'll tell you right now, he's one of my picks for, like, big fantasy waiver wire pickups this week. I'm pretty sure in almost every fantasy league, somebody has a waiver wire request in for him. I'll tell you right now, no, in the league we're in, I have a request in for him because he is going to be, especially with Marlon Mack out, I think he's absolutely going to take over. And what is Phillip Rivers like? Why did Eckler do so well with the Chargers? Because Phillip Rivers likes to check down to the running back, and that's what he does. Eckler right now, Eckler did not have a good stat line this weekend with Tyrod there. And I think Naeem Hines, he's going to thrive in that offense.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor is slated to be more of the bell cow running back. He'll definitely get more of the rush attempts and maybe even around the goal line. They're going to use him to, you know, sort of bulldoze through that line. But like you said, those pass attempts, we saw it in Los Angeles when Phillip Rivers was there. Eckler just ate up those targets. And even when Melvin Gordon was just the feature back there, he had a ton of opportunities to catch passes. And even Danny Woodhead, a name going all the way back into around 2014, 2015.
Danny!
He was running back 3 in fantasy 1 year just in PPR because he got so many catches from Phillip Rivers. So that's a good take, Mark. Naeem Hines, if you don't have, or if he's out there in waivers and you don't have a claim in, definitely get a claim in if you're near the top of the waiver wire this week.
Yeah, you definitely should. So we kind of covered that Colts game. I don't think there's anything much else to say besides that they completely folded. And T.Y. Hilton is not the player that he used to be. And I don't know. How many wins the Jags going to get? Honestly, we didn't think they were going to get that many. They start off 1-0. How many wins are they going to finish with, do you think?
Dude, I mean, I'm looking at the schedule right now for them. I mean, we slated them to be, I think, around 3-13. We said they were a 3-4 win team. If they're giving Indianapolis trouble and they're supposed to be, you know, the top team in the division, we both, I believe, said that they could win that division or at least come in second. Look, I mean, if they can knock off Indianapolis, who knows what they can do with their division games and out-of-division opponents. I mean, I would give them an easy 3-win boost here, say that they're probably around 6-10. I don't know if they can keep that offensive momentum up. They surprised the Colts. They don't have much of a run game. I can't even tell you the name of the guy that they started. James Robinson, I believe, was their running back.
Yes.
Listen, look, this could be a one game wonder. It could not be. I don't know what your take is, but I would still say that they're a below 500 team.
I agree with that. Also, little note on Robinson. He is the only running back in the NFL for a single team that got 100% of the carries for their team that weekend. So, I mean, if you're interested, if that running game can stick up and you're like in a deep 12-team fantasy league, why not take a chance on somebody that's the bell cow guy, and you might need another target. But, I mean, I can't see Jacksonville. I mean, who thought? I mean, it's Minshew magic again. Can they keep it up? DJ Chark is looking nice, but I don't really know. I mean, it's kind of hard. It's like there's a perfect segue for like to go into Washington and the Eagles. Let's go there right now. Dude, the Eagles? I just want to ask you right now. You picked the Eagles to win the NFC East. Are you confident?
Absolutely not. I'm so nervous with that pick. Look, they are injury depleted, and Carson Wentz might be a fraud. He did not look good. Granted, he was absolutely pressured the entire game. I believe, what, eight sacks? Eight sacks on Carson Wentz?
Yes, correct.
I will say, we tweeted it out that the Redskins pass rush is no joke. We've been talking about it all offseason too. I mean, they came to play. Granted, that offensive line, they were missing two starters. Still, they're going to wreak havoc. You have Montez Sweat and Chase Young, who looked great in that first game. I mean, they're going to give defenses problems, or offensive lines problems, excuse me. I don't care what team they're going up against. They're going to be able to create some pressure coming off the rush. So it just really depends on how far I think Haskins can carry them. And Mark, I'll sort of segue over to you with that. Haskins is your guy. You've been talking about his talent, what his arm can do, and he just kind of came into a bad situation last year. Does Riverboat Ron have what it takes to be the Haskins whisperer and turn him around?
I mean, being an Ohio State fan, I'd love that, because is Dwayne Haskins the reason they won that football game yesterday or on Sunday? No, I don't think that he is. But I still think that he is good enough for that team to fill the role of playing quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the league that are shitty. And I think that he's better than he's better than people make him out to be. I mean, his completion percentage was pretty poor. It was only 54.8%. That's pretty bad. That's Josh Allen numbers there. He only had 178 yards passing, one touchdown. He had a passer rating of 82.5. Not bad. That's not bad. But the reason they won, like you said, is that defensive line. And I will segue over when I told Noah this before the show, I think it was yesterday, when I was like, when Noah and I did our NFL team MVPs, I picked the offensive line of the Eagles as that team MVP, and I 100% stick behind it. I think Lane Johnson's down, and they lost their two best offensive linemen, the Eagles, and that's the whole reason they lost, was because the defensive line kept pressuring Carson. He had no time to throw, and he just couldn't make the plays. I think it's becoming a problem for Philly with the injuries there. And you know, props to the Redskins to hanging in there, being tough. I mean, they're making it work with the weapons that they have, and I think that it's the same situation as in Jacksonville, where no one expected them to be good, and they're just going out there, balls to the wall, making it happen. And you love to see it. I love to see Dwayne Haskins rebound after a mediocre last year for how many games that he played. Riverboat Ron getting some wins with this very up in the air and shaky roster, and Chase Young coming in as a rookie and really proving his worth, getting a sack in his first game. That's amazing. So I really like what the Redskins are doing. Eagles, wow, they're in rough shape. They do not look good. They're banged up. Jalen Reagor was the only bright spot from that team. I don't know what you think, Noah, but I think he was the biggest bright spot on that team on Sunday.
He did great, especially being a rookie. I mean, he's showing off that sub-4.3 speed that we were talking about preseason. I mean, the kid can absolutely blaze. DeSean Jackson 2.0, pretty much. I feel like he's going to be a deep threat there for years to come, but you can't just build around a deep threat. I will say I'm still going to defer to Carson Wentz and his connection with Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz, I believe, had the first touchdown of the entire season. I think that Philly Washington game had the first touchdown of the whole year, and Zach Ertz looked pretty solid to me. He does what he always does. He'll get about 5 or 6 catches. He had a touchdown, did pretty well. I mean, they only put up 17 points, so if anybody had a great day, I'm going to say it was Zach Ertz. But like you did say, Rieger definitely showed some promise. He was definitely probably the second biggest bright spot, if not the biggest bright spot. But man, like you said, that offensive line injury depleted. If Wentz doesn't have the time to throw, it's going to be a long season for Philadelphia. It's going to be a long year.
Yep, and it doesn't help that Miles Sanders is starting off the year hurt. Right. So, I mean, and Boston Scott filled in, but he's, you know, he's no Miles. Miles Sanders has a lot more potential than he does. But, I mean, let's move on to some more. I mean, this isn't a shocker. Buffalo Bills beat the New York Jets. New York Jets look like one of the worst teams I've seen in so many years, and we've seen some pretty shitty Cleveland teams. Excuse my language. We've seen some bad Cleveland teams. The Jets look horrendous. They have no direction at all. Oh. Sam Darnold's not. There's no one on that team. They have no supporting cast at all. If you had to say who's the best player on that team, I would say besides Sam Darnold, because I mean everybody's still sticking up for the guy. They're like, oh, I mean he hasn't had an offensive line. That's fair. He hasn't had wide receiver core. That's fair. Who's the best player on that team? Lev Bell looks like crap. He's out with an injury. Who else? Marcus May? That's their best player? They need so much help. I don't know what you think, Noah, but I mean, the Jets might be the worst team in the league, honestly.
Yeah. So I'm gonna poke some fun at you. Do you remember the beginning of the year? I believe you said that the Jets had a chance to get over 7 wins. Didn't you bet on that?
I did actually, and I'm really regretting it now because this roster and this team is horrible. And you know what? I don't blame the team 100%. I blame Adam Gase. He's a horrible coach. Terrible. That's one of my worst takes I've ever had.
Yeah, Adam Gase is absolutely a horrendous coach. Have absolutely no presence on defense. It looks like they have no idea what they're doing. They don't even know what coverage that they're in. And if you let Josh Allen throw for 3 touchdowns or put up 3 touchdowns on you, you're going to have a huge problem because we've said it time and time again, Josh Allen can't throw the football. He is a horribly accurate passer, and he just made the Jets defense look like Swiss cheese. It's going to be a long year for them. And you know what? Since we're part of Bold Takes on this show, I will go down, write it down right now. Jets will end up with the absolute worst record. They look like a 2-14 football team. They look almost as bad as the Dolphins did last year at the beginning of the year.
So you think they're going to have the number one pick?
I do absolutely think that the Jets are going to have the number one pick. It's just Darnold and a bunch of janitors and maintenance workers out there right now playing football pretty much. They have no reason to compete. I'll say this, and we'll sort of segue into New England, if that's okay. New England looks like that they're on the roll, and if them and Buffalo are the top two teams and the Dolphins are going to be the scrappy team that I think that Brian Flores is going to make them, the Jets have absolutely no reason to compete. They were slated to, you know, possibly finish second in the division. They are going to be dead last. Dead last. Yeah. I believe they were 32nd in the power rankings, and I don't see them jumping above that number anytime soon.
I don't either. But talking about the Patriots, I mean, look, they won against a Miami team that was a little hurt and still has Ryan Fitzpatrick at the helm. It was a good win. It was a close win. But
it was
the score
is closer than the game actually was, in my opinion. I think New England controlled the pace of play for almost the entire game.
True. I just think they're so one dynamic, and people are saying, oh, the RPO was so good. Oh, Cam's back. He's rushing. Look, Cam only had four passes that went 10 or more yards downfield. That was the worst in the NFL for this week. They're not throwing it. Cam is not throwing it deep. It's all slant routes to Edelman and checkdowns, or he's running the ball. He doesn't look as fast as he used to be. I think this team is super one-dimensional, and I do not think that, you know, in the AFC East, is it going to work? Definitely it will work because the Jets' defense is bad. As we saw, they already beat Miami. Buffalo, you're going to have a harder time because that team is way better. Their linebackers are better. But I think that Cam brings a new – it's a different offense than that was with Tom Brady. But I do not think that their design – I'm still going to stick to it. I think they're an max eight-win team because I don't think they're dynamic enough. I just don't think Cam's arm is to the level that it used to be with Carolina.
Yeah, Mark, I'm going to agree with you there. Like you said, he didn't show anything off arm talent-wise. And not only that, I mean, we know Cam Newton can throw the football. He has plenty of power in that arm. Belichick's going to design some plays to his skill set that are going to maximize his potential. But the problem is, on the outside, they have absolutely no playmakers. Julian Edelman is probably the only reliable, solid pass-catching option on that team. I won't throw shade at James White. I also think he's pretty reliable. But are you going to check down to the running back every time to guarantee you yards down the field? Absolutely not. You need a guy to stretch the field, and they don't have that. N'Keal Harry just doesn't seem to be the guy that they need him to be. They had Mohamed Sanu on the roster. I believe they cut him. And Mohamed Sanu is now in San Francisco. So they have no answer, no weapons for him on the outside. They're going to have to make some moves here, which I feel like we could talk about that little bit later on in the show, because we'll transition into another team here that's looking to move a wide receiver, the Cleveland Browns. And God, did they also look terrible. And they're reportedly shopping Odell Beckham right now, which just shows that Cleveland is still the dumpster fire. And everyone's been drinking the Kool-Aid on them, and I'll own it too. I said they could finish, you know, maybe make the playoffs as a wild card. Mark, roast me on that. They look terrible.
Dude, I really want to, because that was a bad pick. It's only week one, and granted they have a brand new head coach, but dude, putting up 6 points?
Baker Mayfield ran it in, right? He didn't throw a passing touchdown. Wasn't that his?
I believe so, honestly. Let me look that up.
I'll look that up
while I give my rant here. Dude, Cleveland looks terrible. And I think my prediction of Case Keenum going to be starting a game at some point this season is 100% going to come true. There is no way Baker Mayfield stays a starting QB for this team if they keep this up the whole season. He looks like crap. Nick Chubb looked bad. That whole team is in trouble. They do not look good at all. Honestly, this Thursday, the Bengals are not favored to win. I think the Browns are 6-point favorites. Hammer the Bengals. I'm telling you, hammer the Bengals. Joe Burrow and the Bengals looked real nice against the Chargers. They should have won that game. But, I mean, it was clear. I mean, A.J. Green pushed off in the end zone, and that is a penalty. But, oh, my God. I mean, the Bengals look 10 steps in front of the Browns, and the Browns might have the most loaded roster overall in the league. And, I mean, Baker is same old Baker. He's going to get the ball. He's going to stare down his first option, and when it's not there, he rolls right. That's literally every single passing play for Baker is, I'm going to stare down my receiver, and if he's not there, I'm going to roll to the right and hope Jarvis Landry or somebody else is there. We're going to get a few yards, and that's it. It's the same old Baker. New year, same Baker. Nothing's changed. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I don't think that they're going to even get close to the playoffs. I really don't.
Yeah, I'll throw that one in the trash. I'm pretty good from week 8 on and being able to tell who's going to make the playoffs, but obviously I just completely whiffed. Like I said, I drank the Kool-Aid. Mark's the one who stayed away from it. Time in and time out, we hear about how great this roster is. They're so loaded. They're great on paper. They get all these free agents. They're making moves. Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Austin Hooper, Kareem Hunt. What has that gotten them? I think their best finish in the past few years has been 6-10. Even the Falcons, who started out with 2 wins in the first half of last year, ended up with a better record than 6-10. And they're in a tremendously better division. At least they were last year. Listen, it's all on Baker Mayfield this year. It's all on Baker. We've said it before the year. Like you said, he looks awful. Looks terrible. There's no way if he keeps this up that he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Browns. You have a reliable option in Case Keenum back there to be your backup quarterback. They're not going to hesitate to put him in, especially with the first-year coach on the hot seat. They're not in rebuild mode. They're in win-now mode. I mean, they are the biggest disappointment of a franchise probably in all of sports. If they can't win with this roster, it's just such a disappointment.
Baker Mayfield's best season and probably the Browns' best season in the, like you said, past few years was 7-8-1. And it was his rookie year after he took over for Tyrod Taylor. They look like crap. Now, segue over to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers losing week one, having all that firepower and looking, you know, kind of like, oh, wait, is this another Cleveland situation? I don't buy it. I mean, we said on the show, the first few weeks, the Bucs may not win very many games because they're still trying to get on the same page. And if you look at that game, the first interception Tom Brady threw to, and it was in the direction of Mike Evans. Mike Evans didn't run the right route. He didn't run a full route. That's not 100% Tom Brady's fault. The pick six he threw, yeah, that ball did not have enough zip on it. It was a bad throw. Janoris Jenkins picked it off, ran it for a touchdown. But Tom Brady and the Bucs just do not have enough continuity yet. They'll get it. It takes a few weeks to develop, but they'll be able to get it. And I think that it's just a matter of time with this team. Everyone's like, oh, he's I know that you think he's a system QB and he's not the GOAT, but I think that Tom Brady's still the GOAT. He's not a system QB because I think he's going to thrive in Tampa. It's just going to take a few weeks. He just needs a few weeks to get that chemistry with his receivers, and then he'll be fine. The Saints look, Drew Brees did not throw it downfield, and Michael Thomas didn't look good. Granted, he got hurt, but I mean, they still beat the Bucs. I don't know. I think the Bucs are in a fine position, even though they lost this week. I think they're still in a good position to compete.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Even though I'm a little down on Tom, especially with him climbing up in age here, I will say switching to a new team, new system, with Bruce Arians there, an air raid offense, which he's not really used to. They've been a little run heavy the past couple of years in New England, but like you said, take away that one pick where Mike Evans just completely did not run the right route. Tom Brady threw for 240 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, and I believe he ran one into the end zone himself, right? Didn't he QB sneak?
He did. That was his first touchdown.
First touchdown, yeah. So look, Tom Brady's going to find a way to win. I love them next week to absolutely rebound against the Panthers. The Panthers allowed the Raiders to score 36 points on them. It's going to be very tough to stop these Tampa Bay weapons, especially if Mike Evans is a little more ready to go. He was battling an injury before the game last week, and he wasn't 100%. I believe he'll be closer to 100% by the beginning of the next game against the Panthers. And there's another player on that team that's not up to full speed yet because he just got traded to them, or just signed with them, Leonard Fournette. They're going to start to phase him in more. I mean, Tampa Bay has just so many weapons there. Like you said, it's going to take them a little while to get their juice flowing. But I think this Panthers game coming up, it's going to be a great recharge point for them. I feel like it'll be a good bounce back win. That New Orleans team's a tough team to beat. So definitely on the same page as you. I do think Tampa Bay definitely has some good chance to compete coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
Let's go over just one more game. From last week. I mean, there was a bunch more news. I mean, Pittsburgh, Big Ben coming back, getting his big win. Titans beating the Broncos. You got Seahawks besting the Falcons, which my Falcons, shit in the bed, dude. They always do. I always believe in the Falcons, and they always break my heart every year. Mitch Trubisky coming back against the Lions. That's pretty noteworthy. He was able to Mitch Trubisky able to get a win after being designated the starter there. But I want to focus in on one game in the NFC West. Cardinals 49ers. Noah, what was your take on that game?
My take on that game was Kyler Murray is what we thought he could be, which is an MVP caliber quarterback in this league. That run that he had, he absolutely juked out the entire 49ers defense on the field. And that connection with DeAndre Hopkins, man, did I not say it was going to elevate Kyler's game? I mean, that connection with D-Hop was incredible. Granted, they didn't throw for a touchdown pass, but D-Hop went off. He absolutely went off. He was the best player on the field that day, in my opinion, besides Kyler. Look, this Cardinals offense is going to be a problem because they didn't even utilize Kenyon Drake as much as they should have, and they still got him a rushing touchdown. They were just chucking it up D-Hop all day. And that 49ers defense is no joke. I mean, they're going to give teams problems all year long. What concerns me about the 49ers in the next coming weeks, it's their offense, man. Especially if Kittle is going to be riddled with injuries. We don't want to see a lingering injury for their best player, especially since they just signed him to a new deal. But Debo Samuel's still hurt. They've had a ton of injury woes at wide receiver. That's why they just signed Mohamed Sanu, who, look, he's not going to be a wide receiver one. They're scrambling to get offense. Raheem Mostert, I believe, was their leading receiver last week. I mean, they're struggling. They need to find a weapon. It's going to be tough for the 49ers to generate some offense. I think they're in some trouble here in the next couple of weeks.
I don't know about that. I don't know about if they're in trouble. I'm going to disagree with you there. I think the 49ers are in fine shape just because their head coach, I mean, I think that their coaching and the amount of talent that they have on the defensive side of the ball is going to be enough to keep them afloat, even with George Kittle being injured. Reminder, they do have Jordan Reed as their backup tight end, who didn't look too bad in that opening debut. He didn't have too many catches, but he didn't look bad. And the running back situation is fine. They still have they got Jerick McKinnon back, who looks unreal. He had a touchdown. Tevin Coleman still. You still got Mostert back there. So they have three really good running backs. Wide receiver is really the area that they're going to struggle, but I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be able to keep afloat. I really like what their Shanahan's doing over there. So, you know, we'll see. But again, good win by the Cardinals, definitely. Kyler Murray looks nice. DeAndre Hopkins, great ad for that team. And they could really shock some people. They could win some serious games here. But
I will say about the 49ers, even though I do think that their offense is going to struggle, listen to their upcoming next 4 weeks. Jets, Giants, Eagles, Dolphins. So they're getting a massive break considering that they've been injury-riddled. I mean, they definitely could run that board. So I still think they're going to struggle to put up points through the air. But like you said, that run game, Shanahan's going to have it going. So I might eat my words there. I'll take that back and say that they'll struggle through the air, but they're going to be fine.
Let's move on to our fantasy studs and duds segment. We're going to do this every single week. We're going to pick the five biggest studs and duds from the last week. Then we're going to go into our commercial break, and we're going to come out with projections for the upcoming week in games. And we're going to pick up our biggest fantasy starts that you should be doing in the upcoming week. And then we're going to go into NBA and NHL news. Right now, the Nuggets and Clippers are playing. I believe the Clippers are winning, and the Islanders and Lightning tied 1-1 going into the third period. Islanders fighting just to stay alive. Tampa's got a 3-1 lead on them, so we will see what happens there. But let's get into the studs and duds here, man. I'll tell you what. Let me start off with the two that were on my fantasy team, and just in general, they're huge duds, and then you go with yours. But Michael Thomas, Nick Chubb. Michael Thomas got hurt. I understand he's out for a few weeks now, but I mean, when he was in the game, he was really a non-factor, honestly. He racked up like 3 fantasy points. They were just not on the same page, and I don't know if I contributed all to Michael Thomas. It might be some Drew Brees too, because he wasn't throwing it downfield, but a real dud for a lot of people that probably drafted him top 5 overall. And then Nick Chubb, I mean, he's slated to be a really good running back again this year. totally crapped in the bed. He had 5 points in fantasy. That's really disappointing from an RB1. And Kareem Hunt actually had a better day than he did. So that's disappointing for Nick Chubb owners like myself. But look for a rebound. He definitely will rebound. Michael Thomas being out for a few weeks stings. But, I mean, Nick Chubb could rebound, but he was a huge dud this week.
Yeah, he absolutely was a huge dud. And if I want to move into one of my dud picks, I'm going to go off with Joe Mixon to start. Joe Mixon rushed for 69 yards on 19 attempts, so he's getting the volume that we thought he was going to get. But that offensive line there in Cincinnati, we knew it was going to be a problem. And the Chargers absolutely just pressured Joe Burrow, gave Mixon no room to run. He only had one catch in that game and zero touchdowns. So half PPR, he ended up with about, I believe it was like 5.6 points. So he was in between that 4 to 6 range, counting all scoring formats. He also had a fumble too, which definitely impacted his score. Look, I'm not nervous about the volume with Joe Mixon going forward. Like I said, they gave him the ball 19 times. And if they actually are going to be in some games, I believe they're going to incorporate him more. He's had 2,000-plus rush yard seasons. They just signed him to a deal. He's definitely going to be getting the volume. It's that offensive line. But look, they're playing the Browns next week, and the Ravens just absolutely ran all over the Browns. So I'm not nervous about that. But he definitely busted this week. That was a disappointment.
Another big bust. Last night, Saquon Barkley, he had 15 rush attempts for 6 yards. 6 yards. You know who had more rush yards than him? Big Ben. And Big Ben, I mean, is he – I think we have to say he's mobile now. Big Ben, mobile QB, maybe been looking at too much Lamar Jackson film. But Big Ben, more rush yards than Saquon. Saquon had an absolute dud of a night. He got all of his yards off of receiving yards. Yeah, I mean, he had 6 receptions for 60 yards, which is, I mean, it's pretty good. But in terms of rushing, you want your running back that you probably drafted top 3 to only put up 9 points, all from receiving because he only rushed for 6 yards? No, that's a total dud. Saquon did not have a good night against Pittsburgh. Noah, you take the last dud here.
Last dud. I'm going to go with a guy who's been in the news for being poop recently, liking poop and being poop, Odell Beckham Jr.
Too much with the poop jokes, dude.
Too much with the poop jokes. Well, I mean, he is on the Browns, so I gotta keep the theme. But OBJ, I mean, everyone's been super high on him to have a bounce back year. He had a very down year in fantasy last year, and boy, did he follow it up with another down game. It looks like it's going to be a long year with the Roll Right Baker out there. He was targeted 10 times, so that's a lot of targets for it, but he was able to haul in only 3 catches for a grand total of 22 yards. So, man, he's really racking up those yards. 3.7 fantasy points half PPR, so he's in that 3 to 5 range for you guys playing standard and full. Listen, I mean, Baker's going to have trouble. I mean, Odell's their wide receiver 1. I mean, he's going to face their top corner almost every week unless they have a guy like Jarvis Landry on the outside getting more attention. But listen, they're going to default to the run. They have 2 great running backs in Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Who knows how much Odell Beckham's value is going to be hindered by that. My guess is a good bit. And if he can only get 3 catches for 22 yards, I don't care what defense it is. I know the Ravens are a good defense, but I mean, he should be able to rack up more points than that. So big bust for Odell week 1, not looking good from here on out.
Let's move on to the studs here. Everybody who had these guys on their team might have won their league this week. I mean, these guys were just unreal. We don't need to go into too much detail with them, but Russell Wilson absolutely put on a clinic there in Atlanta. He had 32 fantasy points. He was an absolute beast. CMC, again, picking up where he left off last year, 96 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. He had 26.9 points in a half PPR league. He did unreal. And then you look at Zeke. I mean, Zeke was that Cowboys offense that night, and they couldn't get it done. But Zeke was absolutely unbelievable. That new feed me tattoo he has on his stomach, I hate it. I think it looks terrible. He shouldn't have done that. But, I mean, I guess when he's old and fat, he'll really like to say for it to say feed me on his stomach. But, I mean, it's his body. He does what he wants. But he did have 26 points, which was unreal. Noah, take us through the last three fantasy studs for the week.
Last three fantasy studs here. I'll go to a quarterback first, and then I'll go to his wide receiver. Aaron Rodgers absolutely shit on the Minnesota Vikings. So that's also another nod to our pick, saying that the Vikings were frauds and that the Packers still own that division. But
definitely,
Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdowns, 364 yards through the air. 32 fantasy points near Russell Wilson's numbers. I mean, yeah, does Aaron Rodgers look washed? I mean, they drafted a quarterback first round, so people are having some doubts. Absolutely not. Discount double checks back. He's going to be here for the entire year, and he's going to be having this connection with Devontae Adams, who had the best numbers out of any receiver this week, and he's going to be a problem. 14 receptions, 156 yards, and 2 touchdowns through the air. Absolute beast, just a tank. And then we'll go to Josh Jacobs on the ground here in Las Vegas, 93 yards on the ground, added a few catches as well, and in 3 touchdowns. He is the Raiders offense. There's no mistaking it. Derek Carr, even though he's going to get some good completions, he's going to be a high percentage guy, just not a lot of yards. They're going to ground pound with Josh Jacobs all day long. And we'll give an honorable mention, too. We picked a guy, even though we love D-Hop, we're going to give it to Calvin Ridley. A surprise here, 9 catches, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And I'll throw this in because I'm feeling sorry for myself. I went up against Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, and Calvin Ridley all on one team yesterday in fantasy. I was projected to win by 20 points the day before, and then I ended up losing by, I think, 30. So
that's tough.
That was due to all three of those guys having a day. I believe it was 7 total touchdowns between the three of them. So they all had very good weeks. So congrats to them.
That is tough. But Calvin Ridley, 3 receivers on the Falcons had 100 plus yards. So that's actually a pretty impressive place to Matt Ryan just totally being an offensive beast. But, that's our recap for this week. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. We're going to get into our predictions for next week and our fantasy starts and favorable matchups for next week. We'll be right back. And we're back to the second half of the show. Noah and I recapped week 1 in the first half. Second half here, we're going to look at week 2, our fantasy predictions. And our NFL predictions. Noah, how you feeling about this?
Feeling great, man. A lot of interesting matchups this week. A lot happened in week 1 that we did not expect, so it's going to make for an interesting week 2. There's a lot of matchups we can get into in depth here, but hopefully we'll give some good insights.
Let's do it. So let's get the easy ones out of the way here. Let's go 49ers, Jets. Who are you taking?
I mean, don't even ask, especially with the 49ers coming off of a loss here. You're going to get a little bit of value from Vegas in the book there. Listen, the Jets, like I said, bottom team in the league. There's no way Kyle Shanahan drops a deuce to the Jets. So absolutely taking the 49ers.
Let's get another easy one out of the way here. Chiefs, Chargers, who are you taking?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the Chiefs again for me. Look, the Chargers, even though that I do actually like their defensive personnel, they don't have it on offense. Tyrod, I mean, he's not dynamic enough. They're going to be trying to run the ball with Eckler, Justin Jackson, those type of guys. Even though Keenan Allen's a nice weapon there too, the Chiefs just have way too much firepower, and their defense actually held a pretty good Texans offense to a decent amount of points. So Chiefs, no doubt.
Packers, Lions, I think we got to go Packers here.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty favorable matchup for Aaron Rodgers, considering Minnesota was slated to have one of the best defenses. He just threw for 4 touchdowns, and they're going up against a defense that let Mitch Trubisky, of all people, throw for 3 touchdown passes. So Definitely going to bet on the better quarterback here in Aaron Rodgers. I feel bad for Matt Stafford, man. I don't know about you. I feel bad
for him. You got it. Yeah, definitely. You have to. And let's move on to Saints Raiders. I think that's pretty simple. I'm picking the Saints here.
Yeah, I like them to go 2-0. The Raiders kind of got sort of an easy game there with Carolina. Granted, Carolina did give them problems, and their defense is just not very good. So I do feel like the Saints are going to have a pretty easy time with this Raiders matchup. Don't like John Gruden against this team. So going to go with the Saints.
All right, so let's dive in a little bit deeper here into the matchups coming this week. I think we previewed the Bengals-Browns game a little earlier, but I'm going to go Bengals here. I'm going with the dog. I think the Bengals look way better than the Browns, and I'm going to take them to, you know, I'll take points on that. We'll give out our official picks on Friday, but since this game's on Thursday, I'm going to go Bengals here. Give me the points on that. Give me the 6 points with that game. Totally. I'll take them to win.
I don't know if I could take the Bengals to win, but I do like the points right now, and we can get into that closer to Friday when we release our picks here. But again, you have a rookie QB in Joe Burrow, and that offensive line is bad. And you have Myles Garrett coming off of the pass rush there in Cleveland. There's so much pressure on Baker and that star-studded team to get a win here. If they drop it to the Bengals, it's just going to be an absolute downhill slide for them. So this is a must-win, do-or-die game to just get yourselves back to 500 at the beginning of the year. I like the Browns to win, but I do like the Bengals to keep this one close.
Falcons, Cowboys. You know what? I'm riding. Flock up, baby. Flock up. Let's go with the I'm going Falcons here. Spread on that's 4. I don't know if I'm taking the spread in. I don't know, but I'm going to go with the Falcons here. I like it. They're the underdogs to go into Dallas and beat them, but I think the Falcons, they're high-powered, and I like them to beat the Cowboys.
I'm going to disagree with you here. Listen, the Seattle Seahawks just absolutely obliterated that Falcons defense. They look horrible, and Dak Prescott is going to be slated to throw. I mean, he looked pretty solid against the Rams. I'm not going to say he looked great, but he looked solid. That Falcons secondary did not improve one bit. They looked horrible. And Chris Carson had a heck of a day against the Falcons defense as well. He didn't do as well on the ground, but he had 2 touchdowns receiving, I think, through the air. And can Zeke do better than Chris Carson? Absolutely. I like Dallas in this one. They're going to be upset coming off of that real close game with the Rams, so I'm going to take the Cowboys.
Let's talk about this a little bit more. So you're going to take the Cowboys, who just lost to the Rams, over the Falcons, who just lost to the Seahawks. I think a big reason that the Cowboys lost was because that offensive line did not look the same, and Aaron Donald and that defensive line kind of wrecked them. Grady Jarrett, not a joke on the Falcons line. He's really not. They were chasing Russell Wilson. I think that they're going to be able to get pressure back there. I think they're going to get into Dak Prescott's face and force a lot of penalties. Force a lot of mistakes. Look, Dak is no Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson makes magic happen. On 4th down and 1, he was able to make it a deep pass to DK Metcalf, burned the Falcons secondary for a touchdown on 4th and 1. Can Dallas do that? I don't like it. I don't like the odds there. I mean, I don't know what you think, but come on, man. Like, I do think the Falcons offense is a little more potent than Dallas's.
I think the Seattle Seahawks offense revolves around the best quarterback in the league. I don't think that their personnel are any better or any worse than Dallas has. Arguably, I don't even want to say arguably, they definitely have the better running back. And then you love Amari Cooper. I would say Amari Cooper is way more talented than DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup there, I mean, they have just as dynamic of playmakers. And Dak Prescott was the passing yards leader last year. He can air it out. He had a very decent game last game. Granted, he didn't have as many touchdowns, but 266 yards and 1 touchdown against a decent Rams secondary, it's going to be fine. He's going to be able to torch the Falcons. They're going to be able to get it done through the air. He's no Russell Wilson. He's not going to be able to make plays outside of the pocket, but I count on that offensive line to rebound a little. I'm going to say Zeke will have no problem getting it going on the ground. He's one of the best running backs in the NFL. The Falcons just don't have an answer on defense. And the Cowboys defense actually looked pretty decent against the Rams. I mean, they're able to air it out. They have great weapons there. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Tyler Higbee had a very hot end of the year last year. And I don't believe Jared Goff had a touchdown pass. So I like the Cowboys here. I don't think the Falcons look good. I don't think they're going to be able to get off to a hot start. Matt Ryan will have some nice games. Julio Jones will be a problem. So will Calvin Ridley. But I like the Cowboys in a close one.
Okay, I guess we'll see on that one. Let's move on to Panthers-Bucks. I kind of like the Bucks to get back on track here. I think they're going to beat the Panthers. I think the Panthers' defense is really, really poor. I think the Bucks are going to get back on track here, get their first win of the season, and Tom Brady's going to get his first win as a Buck.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I previewed this a little bit right before we segued into this segment, but the Raiders just put up 36 points on them, and they just allowed Josh Jacobs to run all over them. That secondary is very bad, and Derek Carr made it look easy with Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow. I mean, you have Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, Gronk, going up against you as the pass-catching options. There's no chance that the Panthers win this game, in my opinion. I think the Bucs and Brady definitely wants to get his first win out of the way, so I'm definitely taking the Bucs.
I think Buffalo's going to beat Miami. I don't think that's going to be close. I think you can agree with me on that.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that. They're going to fight hard. It's going to be a low-scoring game. The Dolphins will probably give Josh Allen a little more trouble than the Jets did. So, but they're going to rely on that defense. It still looks great. Sean McDermott's going to coach it up. I think it's just going to be a really low-scoring game, but I trust the Bills to win.
I like Pittsburgh to beat Denver. I think Pittsburgh's defense is going to suffocate Drew Lock.
I do too. It's good. I mean, that's a still relatively young QB. I think he only had 6 starts at the end of last year, so he's still pretty much a rookie in my eyes. They had the lead against Tennessee. Tennessee has a decent pass rush, decent defense, but it's no Pittsburgh Steelers pass rush. I mean, that defense and that secondary too is very underrated. They have 2 good shutdown corners in Joe Hayden, Steven Nelson, and Minka's the beast that he will continue to be. Vic Fangio, I mean, he actually has a pretty solid defense even without Von Miller back there. Gave Tennessee a lot of trouble. Pittsburgh's going to have trouble running the ball on the ground. I mean, they gave Derrick Henry some problems there for the majority of the game. They just kept feeding him and feeding him. That's the reason why his yards went up. But I trust the Steelers to get it done. Big Ben's back on track. So Steelers are back. Juju looks good. Definitely taking the Steelers.
Eagles-Rams. This is an interesting game here. I'm going to go with the Rams. I kind of like the Rams to go into Philly and beat the Eagles here, especially if that offensive line is still injured. Aaron Donald's going to have a field day, and the Rams are just going to take over.
Yeah, you said it best. And Malcolm Brown looks to be pretty solid for them. He had 2 touchdowns on the ground. Look, Philadelphia's injury depleted, and like you said, if Washington can give the Eagles some problems, Aaron Donald is going to be able to give the Eagles some problems. So, and I feel like the Rams have a much better offense than Washington, so I definitely like the Rams.
Vikings-Colts. The way the Colts played, they're going to have to bounce back, but I don't think it's going to be against the Vikings. I think the Vikings are going to win here. Surprisingly enough, Vikings are not the favorite in this game, but I like the Vikings to win here.
Love the Vikings to win here, too. I don't trust Phillip at all. Granted, that Vikings secondary looks awful, and Phillip Rivers is going to, it looks like, throw it a ton. I mean, he had a lot of pass attempts there, especially with Marlon Mack going down, who is going to be slated to be Jonathan Taylor's complimentary back there. But this one's an interesting, tough game to me. I definitely like the Vikings' value here, so I'll stick with you too. I'm down on the Colts right now, and this is a tough second game to bounce back from a loss, so I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Giants-Bears. Mitch, and that Giants defense is going to take over. I like the Giants to lose to the Chicago Bears here.
This is another tough one for me. It's both 2 teams with not a lot going for them, in my opinion. But look, people are down on Mitch, but he threw for 3 touchdowns. I'm going to go with Mitch here. Look, the Giants, Daniel Jones looked awful in the second half. And I know it's a Steelers defense that's arguably the best in the league, but we've heard about the Bears time and time again. Their defense is no joke either. Matt Stafford was supposed to be able to get it done through the air against the Bears, and he couldn't. They blew the lead. The Bears defense has the ability to shut teams down. If they can contain Saquon and make Daniel Jones be the playmaker, that seems to be the recipe. That's what the Steelers did, held him to a really low number of rush yards, made Daniel Jones throw the ball and make mistakes. So I'm going to trust the Bears defense here. If Mitch can keep it up, I'm going to go with the Bears.
Let's move on to the Washington football team taking on the Cardinals. I kind of like the Cardinals. They're at home and they're hot right now, coming off a big win against the 49ers. I like the Cardinals to beat the football team.
Yeah, the football team. I think we did call them the Redskins earlier in the show, but got the Washington football team here. Yeah, I like what your take too, Mark. Pretty hot team coming off a good win against a good defense, good team in the 49ers. Washington's hot too. They're going to play tough. I will say this game's going to be tougher than a lot of people think. Riverboat Ron, I mean, we've said it about his cancer treatment. He actually went in for an IV at halftime and then came back out to coach the game. These guys are going to play their heart and soul out for Ron Rivera all season long. That Cardinals offensive line is still a little shaky, but Kyler is pretty talented. They have a lot of weapons there. I just don't think they have the firepower in Washington to beat the Cardinals, so I'll stick with them to go 2-0.
Yeah, let's move on to the Ravens-Texans here. You're going to disagree with me, but I'm going Texans. I think Texans rebound from week one. They're going to knock off the Ravens here. That's my hot take of the week. Texans beating the Ravens week two.
Yeah, that is a hot take, and yep, not gonna like that one at all. I mean, look, the Chiefs, granted they had a little trouble in the red zone getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire getting a couple of touchdowns, but look, he was able to run all over the Texans. The Ravens have a super run-heavy offense. Texans struggled containing Travis Kelce. They have Mark Andrews there tearing it up. He did absolutely fantastic. I think he had two touchdowns for Baltimore. Look, they're going to run the ball. They're going to get Lamar Jackson outside of the pocket. It's going to be very hard for the Texans to contain him. I'm going to stick with the Ravens here to go 2-0. They're my team this year. I still think that they're fantastic, and that defense is better than it was last year, and they showed it against the Browns, holding all those stars to 6 points. So going to go with the Ravens.
Last game of the week, Pats-Seahawks. It's going to be a close game, but I think Seahawks are going to beat the Pats. I think the Pats are no match. Maybe it'll be close because obviously they got the best coach in the league, but I think that the Seahawks are going to win this game.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, every time I bet against Russell Wilson, he proves us wrong. He always just razzle-dazzles. He took care of business against Atlanta. A little better defense here, but I don't think that Cam Newton has the answer. They don't have the playmakers on the outside, and Seattle does. So I'm going to go with Seattle here.
Let's move on to our next segment, the biggest projected fantasy studs this week. And we're not going to include guys like Saquon, you know, like obviously you're going to play him. You're never going to take him out. But if you're a Derrick Henry owner, you are probably going to win this week, and I can almost guarantee it because Derrick Henry is bound to have a 100-plus game and a few touchdowns because they're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they always beat the Jaguars. Well, it's not that they always beat the Jaguars. It's always Derrick Henry has a monster game against the Jaguars. So if you have Derrick Henry, you're in a great spot for this upcoming week. Noah, what is your first fantasy stud for this upcoming week?
Well, we'll stick with the running backs here. We'll keep the theme. You took Derrick Henry from me. He's definitely slated to be a top option, especially against Jacksonville. He always seems to go off. I like Alvin Kamara a lot. You just saw Christian McCaffrey have a great day, and Alvin Kamara had a solid day against Tampa Bay, who Tampa Bay has a much better defense than the Raiders, in my opinion. Christian McCaffrey had a day against them, had two touchdowns. I like Kamara to do sort of the same. I think he's going to be the top option for them in that game, especially with Michael Thomas out. They're going to feed Kamara all day long. So give me Alvin Kamara against the Raiders.
I think that you can't play. I mean, personally, I don't like T.Y. this week. I think T.Y. is just not going to do that great this week. But honestly, and this might be a little bit hot, if you're looking for a tight end because you just lost George Kittle in your league, who am I going to go with? Two options. One, Jordan Reed, his backup. Two, Jimmy Graham. And that is going to be surprising, but Jimmy Graham had a big week last week. He was a big red zone target for Mitch, and the Giants defense is not very good. They're not going to have anybody that can cover that tight end. And I like Jimmy Graham matchup against the Giants. If you're searching the waiver wire for somebody because Kittle just went down, look at either Jordan Reed or Jimmy Graham. I like either of their fantasy outputs for this week.
Yeah, I do like those options there, Mark. If you're trying to scour the waiver wire for a tight end, if you're in a deep league and tight end's the scarcest position, definitely look at those two guys to add. I'm going to switch it up here and go to quarterbacks that I like this week. You got guys like Russ, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. I'm not going to stick with those guys. I feel like you're going to know what you're going to get with those. I'm going to go with two guys that are going up against really abysmal pass defenses. And I think we talked about this a little bit in our preview of the schedule, but I love Dak Prescott and Aaron Rodgers. Dak Prescott against Atlanta, even though, Mark, you don't like Dallas to win the game, I think you do have to agree he's going to be able to put up pass yards at the very least. That secondary looked abysmal against Russ. So definitely look for Dak to bounce back and have a little bit of a better game. And look, if Mitch can put up three touchdowns against the Lions secondary, what's Aaron Rodgers going to do? I mean, I love both of those guys to get the yards. They're very solid plays this week. They're not going to get you any touchdowns on the ground. They're not going to get you the rush yards that some of the other guys might give you, but definitely look for them to have some great passing yards.
I do like those picks, and I'm going to give you a running back wide receiver duo here. If your wide receiver, you probably can't pick him up because he's owned in a lot of leagues, but last week he kind of was disappointing. Stephon Diggs, I like him this week. They're playing Miami. Their defense, their secondary was not tested last week at all. Look for Josh Allen to have a big week with Diggs. And you know what? I like it. They're in South Beach. It's going to be warm, and Diggs is going to be flying around the field. I love it. I love the matchup there. I'm going to take Diggs. If you're looking for a running back because, you know, you had James Conner and he just went down, look to his backup, Benny Snell. He had 100 yards rushing last night. They're playing Denver this week. Denver's run game gave up 100 yards to Derrick Henry. Now, I'm not saying Benny Snell is Derrick Henry-level running back, but the Steelers' offensive line, even though they lost Zach Banner, is still elite. They might be getting David DeCastro back this week. So I like Benny Snell. Good waiver wire pickup right there. And like we said earlier in the show, Nyheim Hines, even though he's probably going to be picked up in everybody's league, I like Nyheim Hines this week just because, you know, that's an extra passing attack option for Phillip Rivers, granted that their wide receivers probably won't be able to get open. They don't have a lot of weapons. I don't like T.Y. this year. Michael Pittman is still raw. Paris Campbell's not that good. So, you know what? Look at Benny Snell. Look at Stephon Diggs to have big, big weeks this week.
All good picks there. I really do love the Benny Snell one, especially with an injury-prone James Conner. It could provide you some solid options down the road, especially just as an insurance policy to Conner. So if you can get him, definitely pick him up in your league. I'll give you a couple more options here. I'll go to one guy first who's been in the news recently. He's a stud option. You're not going to be able to pick him up. This is just for his owners, but Allen Robinson. Look, he's frustrating with Mitch just because you don't know if he's going to get the touchdowns, but he's going to get the targets. He had 9 targets, 5 catches last week against the Lions, and he's going up against the Giants this week, who just had Juju Smith-Schuster catch 2 touchdowns against them, had over 100 yards. Big Ben sliced and diced. Look, I don't think Mitch is as bad as people are at least saying that he is, just in terms of what he can do against some bad teams. The Lions are no better than the Giants, in my opinion. The Giants' secondary was very bad. Mark, you can say the same, in my opinion, because we saw our boy Big Ben toast him. So definitely look for Allen Robinson to at least bounce back. another wide receiver that I do like this week to bounce back. There's a couple of good options here. I do like Mike Evans against Carolina. He's another big name guy. Like I said, injury prone.
I like that.
There's no surprise that Carolina's defense is also abysmal. And if you want Tom Brady to get a win, they're going to be airing it out. Bruce Arians loves to throw the football. He was a little shaky last week. He was one of our busts. I believe we mentioned him. Mark is a huge Mike Evans fan, so I'm sure he'll endorse this pick. Mike Evans, definitely a guy to bounce back. And then we'll give you a little flex play, and I'm going to try to find a guy here that I believe is a little lesser known, a little bit under the radar. Mark, what do you think about my guy against Chicago? He's a tight end. Evan Engram. Do you see him having a great game? Do you see that connection?
Oh my God. You know I'm an Evan Engram fan.
Against Chicago?
I don't know. I don't know. I could see it. Hockenson had a nice game. Hockenson had a nice game for the Lions against the Bears. So, I mean, Evan Engram, especially if you're in need of a tight end, like Noah said, it's an extremely thin position. He might be a good option there. But, I mean, if in your leagues, honestly, I would probably go with, you know, you could. Yeah, I actually kind of like that. I kind of like that pick with Evan Engram there. Definitely against the Bears. Yeah, I could see that happening. That could pan out really well. And then I'm just going to give my last couple picks here. So if you're playing in a very I'm going to go with another running back here. And in my opinion, Kenyon Drake was drafted way too high in a lot of leagues, and Chase Edmonds came up from behind and absolutely was really, really good for them. I would go with Chase Edmonds here. I think Chase Edmonds could be a good player for them, and he could be, he honestly could be stealing some runs and some share from Kenyon Drake. So I would kind of look at that. I do not buy the hype in Corey Davis, even though he had a better game than AJ Brown. Stay away from Corey Davis. I mean, and I think that goes with, like, there's a couple guys in the league that had decent games yesterday or on Sunday, but I mean, I would kind of stay away from them. Jerick McKinnon, he's still very injury prone. I would stay away from him. Carlos Hyde might be a good option for your bench if Chris Carson goes down, because Carlos Hyde, if you remember a season ago, had 1,000-yard season, and you might be able to, if you have room on your bench, store him on your bench, because once Chris Carson goes down, it's Carlos Hyde's show. And he can clearly get it done there. So I mean, Carlos Hyde could be a good option if you're in need at running back. Excuse me, but for this upcoming week, it's going to be really exciting. I don't know. I don't see Cooper Kupp getting back on track this week, just because he's down there playing against Darius Slay, and I think that's going to be really tough for him to get back on track, especially after a rough week last week. I'm not high on Devin Singletary again. I think Zach Moss is taking too many carries from him. DK Metcalf, I would stay away. He's going to be with Stephon Gilmore. Is going to be draped all over him. I would stay away from that. You know what? I like your pick. I like your pick with Mike Evans there. I think he's going to have a pretty decent week this week, and I like him to rebound, especially if he's fully healthy. So we just made a lot of picks there, a lot of stardoms for the week upcoming, and I like all our picks. I mean, we gave some picks that are waiver wire friendly. I mean, especially in the tight end realm, you're going to need some waiver wire pickups there. The problem with a lot of teams now is you've had Michael Thomas on your team and he just went down and you need a wide receiver to pick up. The wide receiver room is not that deep. I know in some leagues you might be able to get Sammy Watkins. Maybe you might be able to get Sammy Watkins. I would stay away from the Green Bay receivers with Scandling and Lazard. Do not touch Corey Davis, Cordell Patterson. I would stay away from those. Look at one wide receiver that might be turned into the next Wes Welker with the Bucks. Look at Scott Miller. He had an unreal target percentage there. He had great yards. He was an outlet guy for Tom Brady. If you need somebody that could stash on your bench and potentially be good for you in a week, if you need a plug there, look at Scott Miller. I think he's very under the radar, and I kind of like him.
I like him too, Mark. I had actually told a friend about that too. Scotty Miller, they've been loving him out of camp. Blazing speed, actually. He's very quick, very fast, especially if you have a Mike Evans or Chris Godwin go down with injury. Love him, especially in PPR leagues. He's going to rack up a lot of catches. He's kind of like a Hunter Renfrow there in Las Vegas, where he's kind of sneaky, a little bit on the smaller side, but he gets a good target share, especially from a guy like Brady, who's a very accurate passer. But you want to transition into our NHL and NBA, running a little over with those fantasy picks, but gave you a lot of good takes there.
That's a lot of good content there, and hopefully you get it in time before the waiver wires all picked up starting Wednesday morning. But let's move into NHL here. Dallas Stars, and you know what, Noah, sometimes I get tired of being right, but the Dallas Stars beat the Las Vegas Golden Knights to advance to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they did it in 5 games. I didn't think they were going to do it in 5, honestly. I thought it was going to go to like 6 or 7, but they were able to do it. Dallas Stars, good for them. I think they really deserved it, and you know what? It's going to be really entertaining to watch the Stanley Cup this year.
Absolutely, dude. I mean, you know, hats off to Dallas. They looked great. Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, and the rest of the crew there leading the way for them. Bowden actually looked very strong against Vegas, who Vegas was rolling pretty hot and heavy through a lot of teams' defenses and goaltenders through the first couple of rounds. So hats off to him for playing a very shutdown series. It's going to be a big test for whoever's coming out of the East. Mark, give us an update on your Islanders versus Tampa right now. What's going on?
It is overtime. I'm currently sweating my ass off because they're just trying to stay in it. It was really disheartening to watch them lose the other night. They're down 3-1. It's overtime here. You know, maybe close at the 3-2. We'll see what happens. But the door is as slightly open as it can be. Almost shut. But, I mean, always got to hold out here. The Islanders, they're going to – I hope they don't break my heart. But – they're not very good in overtime, as I've seen with their playoff series against the Flyers. So we'll see what happens here. Noah, you picked the Lightning. They look really good. They look really, really good. And Andrei Vasilevskiy has proven that he's the best goaltender in the playoffs here. So I think that they're going to be, if they do advance, them versus the Stars is going to be absolutely unbelievable. It's going to be a great cup, and I can't wait.
Yeah, Mark, unfortunately, even though it's hard being right for you, you're going to be wrong here with your Islanders. That's just my take. The Lightning look too good for them. Even if they do win tonight, it's going to be tough to come back from 3-1. Almost no teams ever do it. So I'm not going to – I won't say that your Islanders can't win tonight, but if I had to bet on it, it's going to be a Lightning Stars great final matchup, in my opinion. I think those are the two teams that you do want to see. The Lightning play a faster-paced game. They have more star power, big names. So if you're Gary Bettman in the NHL, you definitely want to see the Lightning in it over the Islanders. But regardless, whoever makes it out of the East, I do think it's going to be an entertaining cup final.
Let's move on to where Noah was right again.
I love it, dude. Love it.
The Los Angeles Lakers rout the Houston Rockets. The Rockets only won 1 game in that series. I was wrong. The Rockets look flat-footed after
they
got that win.
That you were wrong?
I have no idea what you're talking about. But the Lakers pulled it out, dude. Great win. They look really good, and they're going to be a tough matchup for whoever wins this Western Conference game, which at the moment, just now, the Nuggets took the lead against the Clippers in the third quarter.
Wow.
It's heating up. Game 7. I hope the Nuggets win. It'll be a total. They were down 3-1. They would have, the Clippers would have blown a 3-1 lead, and I cannot wait for if the Nuggets win, everybody needs to tune into Colin Cowherd at noon tomorrow because he picked the Clippers to win. He already said it. He's like, oh, the Clippers are winning the whole thing. He's like, it's not even a question. I can't wait. I hope the Nuggets win. It's going to be amazing.
Can't wait. Can't wait to hear what he has to say, too. He's well known for backtracking, so he can't weasel himself out of this one. He'll have to probably own up to it, but it's an interesting stat here for Denver. If they do this, they'll be, I believe, the first team in history to win two back-to-back series when being down 3-1, which is absolutely absurd if they can pull that off. So don't want to jinx them. Definitely want to root for the underdog here, especially since I think I picked the Lakers to win the title. I feel like that'll be a little bit of an easier matchup for them in that West final. So definitely want to see what this Nuggets game comes out to.
And a little bit like when you say that, you know, the Nuggets have already been here. They've already had a game seven. Think about this. The Nuggets Clippers are game seven right now. Clippers have not had to go to a game seven because they've been able to beat the teams they've played in the playoffs. They're losing. Imagine how nervous the Clippers are right now that they're like, we're losing to the team we were up 3-1 on. It's game seven. There's so much pressure on us. And the Nuggets are like, oh, we've been here before. We've been in game seven before in the playoffs. We're here again. We just took the lead. We have the momentum. Let's close this thing out. I love it. I think the Nuggets can really pull this thing off.
I do too. I mean, it's still early. It's just underway in the third quarter. I believe 9 minutes left in the third. But I think it's going to come down to this. I think Kawhi's going to get his own, but look at a guy like Paul George. If Paul George has a bad game, that's who you're going to be hearing from. Playoff P, man, he's been hot and cold. He was really cold starting off against that Dallas Mavericks team. Then he got hot, and he's been doing pretty well ever since. But if Playoff P does not come out here, it's going to be bad news for the Clippers. If they do lose, I feel like it's going to be because he doesn't show up.
Definitely. And let's move on to the big series Noah and I have a jersey bet on.
Huge.
I was nervous the Celtics weren't even going to make this round because they went to a game seven with Toronto, but they edged him out. And now it's Celtics Heat, Eastern Conference Finals. Heat take game one in overtime, beaten by 3 points. Great win. I still believe in the Celtics. I still think that the Celtics are going to do well, and I think they're going to be able to edge out the Heat. And I think it might go to seven games, honestly. These teams are so evenly matched. This might be the best series of the playoffs, honestly.
Yeah, man, you forgot to mention I was right once again with my Heat starting off the series with the win, going up 1-0. Granted, it was a great game, very close. Went into overtime. Jason Tatum had a good look at a three to seal the deal in regulation. Couldn't get it to fall. Heat were able to edge him out in overtime, 117-114. I agree with you. I think this is going to be a game six for sure. Definitely could see it going to game seven. Just got to roll with Jimmy Buckets, man. Tyler Hero actually was probably the player of the game, in my opinion, though. He had some nice shots, very clutch. He also was crashing the boards, too. They have some nice players around Jimmy Butler. He's probably their best star player, but they have a ton of guys that play with a lot of heart, a lot of soul. I'm going to roll with my Heat, dude. I'm going to ride the wave. They've been the underdog all playoffs. They've been shocking the world, so I'm just going to stick with them.
Why not? But that pretty much does it for us on this week's episode. We covered a lot here. Let us know on Twitter if you guys want to hear more fantasy stuff, more NFL stuff. If you like our picks on Fridays, we went 2-2-1 this week. Hopefully we'll be in positive shape next week. But it's been a pleasure, and I can't wait for NBA, and I can't wait for the NFL this week.
Don't forget about that NHL too, man. We'll update the folks on Twitter tomorrow about how you're feeling after that Islanders game. We'll see what the result of it is. But definitely glad sports are back, especially the NFL. I have a lot of good games here. We'll release those gambling picks on Friday. But Mark, it's been a pleasure, and I'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.